So today, we were supposed to wrap up our 1 Corinthians part 2, Worship Matters, part of our series, before we then jump into part 3. So there's Worship Matters. Part 3 is coming up starting Good Friday and Easter, where we'll look at death, grief, and resurrection this weekend. And I actually had most of that message written to wrap up part 2. It was called Wrapping Up the Gifts. See what I did there? Wrapping up the gifts, the spiritual gifts. Hilarious. But we have to be open to surprises of the Spirit. And it became obvious to me, just so many signs these past couple weeks, that the Lord was stirring kind of a new work for our church, which led to actually a new message planned for today. And the urgency of the gospel and love for people in our community demands that we be open to these new stirrings of the Spirit's. Why is that? Well, we're still only reaching as a church 1%, maybe as much as 2% of the Oceanside population represented on that map. So Parksville, Qualicum Beach, Nanuse, Arrington, Coombs, French Creek, a few other areas, which is actually really rare for a church, by the way. It would put us in basically kind of the 99th percentile based on percentage of area of population that we're reaching. 1% is a goal most churches have to have an influence in their community, but have not yet reached. And we're beyond that, and that's amazing when you consider that we were just a church of less than 50 10 years ago. But that doesn't mean we relax and, you know, pat ourselves on the back. Look how great we're doing. Why can't we do that? Because even if we account for the other churches in the area who are doing good work, that still leaves at least 95%, probably more, of the Oceanside area as unreached, unchurched, or dechurched, meaning just people living for a kingdom or a cause other than God's. So what are we going to do about it? Are you passionate about the harvest? Are you intent on seeing people's lives and families transformed by the gospel? I'm admittedly in a bit of a reflective mood this week and this Sunday, as this Sunday today actually marks 10 years here at Oceanside for me and Hannah. And as I often say, I feel like we're just getting started, because the harvest is so plentiful. There's so much more work still to be done. And the fact that I wasn't planning on this message at all, but kind of just felt the Lord impress it upon my heart and these three points of direction that I'm going to go over, it was just so energizing for me, of the Lord kind of saying, there's so much more to be done as we move into hopefully another decade together. So it felt like the Lord kind of dropped this text on my heart. And what is that text? You can stand with me for the reading of the word if you'd like. You can turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And we'll start in Luke chapter 13 and verses 18 and 19. And then we'll skip over to Luke 17, 5 and 6. There's always Bibles in the back. They've slightly moved to make room for more chairs, but they're against the sound booth there. Luke chapter 13. 18 and 19, and then we'll go 17, 5, and 6, and you'll see how they're connected. Then Jesus asked, "What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It is a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches." Luke 17, verses 5 and 6. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." He replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it will obey you." And of course, Matthew says, "You can move a mountain." I'm going to ask you to lean in today, to begin to pray, to just begin to ask for faith from the Lord. Even just as much as a mustard seed, to dream together about where God is leading us, as well as asking God, Lord, where is my place in that story? So in faith, go ahead and ask, God, where are you leading us? Where is my place? I want to have faith, even just a little bit, and begin to stir up faith in your heart as we speak. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can be seated, and I have a little bit of ring behind me. I don't know if it's fixable. I'm going to ask, or let's talk about the text briefly here. This isn't an expository message, meaning I'm not going to go in depth about these verses. I simply want to kind of spark our gospel imagination with them. But anytime Jesus says, what is the kingdom like, our hearts should just jump, right? Our minds should awaken. We should say, I want to know, what is the kingdom of God like? It should awaken us, and we lean in. And it seems that Jesus really liked this mustard seed parable or analogy. It appears in all three synoptic gospels in various contexts. It was obviously one of Jesus' kind of go-to teachings, so it should have our attention. And the main takeaways from these two passages, I think, are somewhat, you know, fairly simple and obvious, and that is these two things, that the kingdom of God starts through small acts and simple ways, and then grows from there. And then the second is applying just a little bit of faith goes a very long way. And thus my title, A Lot from a Little, Mustard Seed Style Faith and Practice. So I'm going to go over three areas or ideas as a church where we're going to need to apply this mustard seed style of faith and practice, meaning action. So using Jesus' two different teachings here, what I mean is small acts of faith that will lead to big impact. To say it another way, we're going to think big, right? That's like uprooting the tree, moving the mountain, but we're going to start small with kind of our mustard seed of faith here this morning. I originally presented these three areas to our staff a few weeks ago as three prayer points I felt the Lord put on my heart, and that's really what they are. But prayer eventually should lead us to action for the kingdom. So here's the three kind of prayer focuses or faith dreams or action steps for our church, and you can write them down, but we're also going to have little prayer card reminders up here for you at the end of the service. But here they are, multiplication, service or site, ministry staff, and more of the Spirit, and as I often do with my prayer points, just so they're memorable for me, I use alliteration because that's just how God's heart works. He loves alliteration, as you know. But it didn't even occur to me or hit me until I started writing this message and felt God call me to this scripture passage. Do you notice anything? Can you think of anything? Mustard seed, yes, so exciting. I mean, come on. Like, only the Lord could do that, right? I was like, oh, another MS, mustard seed. I couldn't believe it. I'm not going to say too much detail about each of these three things. They're fairly open still. The goal is to just give us enough to pray about and then spend time listening and responding to the Lord, both this morning and especially over these next 60 days together. But let's start with multiplication, services or sites. Over the last 2 weeks, we've averaged over 350 people. And we've never had a two-week stretch like that before, ever. Even if you include a two-week stretch with an Easter in it, we've never had a two-week stretch like that before. Despite less than a year ago increasing our capacity by 25 to 50%, depending on how you measure that, we're already bursting a bit, especially in our 11 a.m. service. And so you remember we started with 250 new chairs in here, which you all in faith bought and purchased. And now we have 308 in here. We've brought in everything we have. All the chairs are in here because we've kind of ran out of room in the 11 o'clock the last few weeks. And so one practical thing is if you don't care about which service you're at, it's not a big deal. We'll make room at any service. But come to the 9 because that does kind kind of buy us some more time as we think through some of these other things. But it's so cool that, you know, 4 years ago, we wrote this in our faith goals for 2025, not knowing where we'd be, that we'd be growing in this way, that our goals for 2025, this is what we wrote 4 years ago, is that this year we would be exploring new horizons, and part of that was this big picture goal to prepare to launch one significant multiplication effort as a church, because the gospel requires, right, this 95% that we know is out there. How do we reach them? And so here's just some possibilities. I want you to know we're not committed to any of these things. We're just totally brainstorming together this morning. But one possibility, obviously, would be adding a third service. This might be an outside-of-the-box kind of service, meaning it could be a different day or time or location or style, something like that, that would maybe help us reach more people. Number two would be, you know, a new site. So again, we're just throwing out ideas here. But I often think about the fact that there is, you know, no church on Highway 4 between the edge of Port Alberni all the way to the edge of Qualicum Beach. So that area in there, Whiskey Creek and Hilliers and in there, that there's no church there. So I usually pull into all the little side buildings and strip malls. I'm just, anything for rent, anything there. I'm just always kind of trying to think there. Oh, there's no church between Qualicum Bay and Dashwood on Highway 19A, including, you know, Dunsmuir and Spider Lake kind of areas along the north stretch, south stretch between Highway 19 and 19A. So these are just, you know, some thoughts where we're thinking that there are people living in these areas, and there's not necessarily a church they're driving by on a regular basis. Number three would be a new, a third possibility would be a new partnership where we come alongside an existing church that maybe needs some help and support and staffing, and that could be, you know, anywhere really on the island here. And then the fourth possibility would just be something we haven't thought of yet. You know, we might be surprised. It could be a new monthly kind of site or location or outreach. Maybe we plan a church in a care home so that we're there every Sunday, not just once a month. I don't know. We're open to the spirits. The second prayer point or faith goal is for ministry staff. So number two faith goal of 2025 that was written back in 2021 was this, that we would multiply our family ministries with dedicated children's pastor and youth and young adult pastor, meaning currently those are all shared by really one role between Thomas and Ellie, all the way from kind of nursery through young adult, and we'd like to put more focus into some of those areas. So just an update on the process, like we have started this, we have already stepped out in faith, there has been a profile out there, we have been doing interviews, and in fact we're getting pretty serious in the process where we're at, so we need to just keep praying, and hopefully we'll have some exciting news in a little while. If you're curious just about some of these things, a lot of this is laid out in this Pave the Way booklet, there are a bunch out in the lobby, and it walks us through some of these things that we have put on paper, but we have to invest in the next generation. Amen? Have to. Almost everyone who comes to faith in Christ does so because they were a part of a church as a kid or because they have at least some memory of being in church, even if for just the briefest of seasons, and it causes them to come back and explore their faith, sometimes decades later, and we hear these stories almost weekly of people. There's no more important time to plant the seeds of faith. So you might be thinking, oh, man, those are some big things. How are we going to find another site to meet in? Where are we going to put more staff, and more importantly, where are we going to put all these kids that the Lord is sending us, and who will care for them? And so, friends, this is where my heart just explodes. It just begins to groan, to cry out in the Spirit at Jesus' teaching, because I believe Jesus looks across the Oceanside area, the 95% approximately, and he just weeps. He says, like he did 2,000 years ago, when he saw the crowds and all the hurting and the lost, and he said, man, the harvest is so plentiful. but the workers are few. And Jesus teaches so much about how the opportunities to advance the kingdom are everywhere. But most people will just become too busy and consumed with our own lives, our own wants and goals and dreams, our own kingdoms and possessions and wealth, and it all comes at the expense of these people not being reached. Because this is all doable when we come together, united in mission, right? But what's it going to take? What's it going to take to accomplish these two goals, to multiply our reach in these ways, whether it be services or staffing in the next generation? Well, believe it or not, I got three more MSs. I couldn't believe it either. Three more MSs. Let's kind of pause these first two goals. How do we accomplish them? Number one would be more sacrifice. Right, read the Gospels or the New Testament letters, and you just can't escape this idea that in order to make eternal impact, Jesus teaches that we are going to have to give some things up in our lives. I mean, there's so many new and spiritually curious people coming in here every week. So maybe we change our schedules a little bit so that we can be here every week to meet those people and begin to get to know people and care for them and invest in the harvest. I was inspired last week when someone told me how they had been, you know, working Sundays for years and finally decided, you know what, I need to get back with the family of God. I need to get back on mission in the world, and told their employer in faith, no more Sundays. And now they've been coming every week. Maybe we reconsider where we live, how we live, our calendars, what we commit to. I mean, it's getting really hard out there. I got emails this week of, you know, dance and sports and all of these things scheduled Good Friday morning, Easter morning. They're scheduling activities, right? So we have to, you know, be resolute in our hearts about what we're going to value and what's going to be important, because that's kind of what we're battling and up against. But the gospel demands rearranging of our priorities. And even this week, I've been praying, Lord, help me, because my priorities are often very out of whack, right? But I want to realign them with God's heart. You know, come early, stay late on Sundays, get to know some of these new people and find out how to care for them, because there are needs all over the place. An extra 30 minutes on a Sunday could change lives, getting involved in people's lives, and so many do that. Maybe the Lord tells us to, you know, sell our $40,000 or $60,000 car and get a perfectly reliable used one for $10,000 or $20,000 and invest the rest in these initiatives for the next generation of the church. I mean, I don't think we're going to regret that when we get to heaven if we did it, right? On the contrary, we would see the fruits of it. Maybe you're like our Paul, who decided, you know, to retire so that he could invest and spend his retirement working in the church here. Refuses to be paid. We've tried. So that the church can invest in other ministries. I mean, think of the hundreds of lives that are being changed because of that decision. Related, it's going to take something. Money spent. Sorry, but can't not mention this. Jesus says it plays a huge factor in kingdom building. Luke 16:9, he tells us to use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Meaning, how we use our money impacts our eternity and others. Luke 19:13, in the parable of the 10 servants who are each given resources to work with Jesus, here's what Jesus says. He says, put this money to work until I come back, right? Sow it into the ground, those mustard seeds of faith. You can read that parable in Luke 19, but the basic idea is just do something, is what Jesus is saying with what you're given. Don't hold on out of fear. And I know that we are doing this, that you are doing this, and I just know it's making crazy impact. 2 weeks ago for our pancake breakfast, our family ministries fundraiser, you raised $5,950.85 at the pancake breakfast to invest in kids and youth in those programs. But what I'm thinking is, I mean, come on, somebody just give $50 so we can say over 6,000. Just do it. Just be easier to remember, right? But we could start, renovating the commercial compound next door, which we own, as an outreach or youth center to reach our community more, but it'll take some serious funds, obviously. We could convert the garage back there into a preteen classroom. They're meeting in my office right now because we don't have space for them. Tomorrow, with really enough help and labor and financial resources, and it would give us more options and classrooms. We've always stepped out in faith, as a church. And our history is that we've always hired people for areas before we desperately needed them, and honestly, before we even had the money to afford them. But every time people have stepped up and said, I'll cover the first couple months of their salary or this portion, and we have a budget line for it. So you just put new pastors, and that'll help hire these new preteen and young adult pastors if you want to sow that gospel seed in the next generation. But, when you feel a sense of responsibility, which we all should, for the 40,000 people in the Oceanside area, when you see it as your mission field that you are called to, you will begin to hold less firmly to what you have. But that takes a third one, a mindset that is singular. I know it should be singular mindset, but I just had to keep it going, right, with the MS. So we're going mindset singular. Might have forced that one a little bit. But we all have a calling, a role to play in the body, right? You can't do everything. I don't want you walking away from this message feeling overwhelmed, right? That's what makes the church community beautiful, where we each just do what we're called to do. And then the impact is so far beyond what we could ever do ourselves when we're all just being faithful to what God's called us to do. Something Jenny Caldwell, who spoke here recently, said at a conference last weekend that our staff and some leaders were at, was to be, owners and not renters in your church, right? So people that care and take ownership, that care for this place as their own, not a renter who's just hoping that the owners, whoever they are, just keep it nice for us, right? And again, you all do this so well. It inspires me. I can't believe it. Sometimes, just how much people in this church care and take ownership. I mean, there are people who are so focused and care so much on making sure people feel welcomed here. I mean, it's like their whole life. We're so focused on making sure kids in need get a breakfast every morning through our breakfast program. Or residents at care homes are cared for. Or the community receives fresh produce through our programs, or people without shelter receive it here in extreme weather, or that the building stays clean, or that the facility is in good shape. It's unbelievable how people take ownership of these things. And the way you all take care of each other, helping people with rides to the hospital, to doctor's appointments, bringing meals, helping those who have just had babies, and all of these things, it's just amazing. It's inspiring. It's awesome. The way you pray for one another. But there's always more to be done because the harvest is so plentiful. And we need more owners and investors when it comes to, for example, expanding our good food program on Thursdays, our newcomers ministry, which is just majorly growing. If you're social and you love meeting new people and hospitality, man, we got lots of ideas and lots of work to do in that area. Redoing our washrooms, all of these things. It's more than I can list here, but here's what we always advise, and here's a part of just this singular mindset. Is you can't do it all. Don't try. Just pick and do one thing, maybe two, and do it well with passion, right? Pour yourself into it. Take ownership of it. Make it your mission. Take ownership of an area. Maybe it's even just a room or a space like the nursery or, somebody has taken ownership of those seat pockets in front of you. And they regularly make sure that they look the way they look. They've just taken that on as like that's their thing. They want to make sure it always looks good with a pen and two cards and an offering envelope. I love it. Let me close with the third MS, and it's short. And no, it's not Marcello Sicchiera. Work. Even better, it's more of the Spirit. Church, all of this, it should just bring us to our knees. Right? But if you don't have kingdom dreams that are so far beyond what you can do, that they cause you to fall on your face and cry out, then your faith dreams aren't big enough. We need the help and work of the Holy Spirit.